hero. Watch him as he goes.
Sick.
Word? What are you trying to say?
I'm on signal.
Oh, who are you trying to hide from?
I don't have anyone to hide from.
Hmm. Exactly what someone on signal would say. Interesting.
I'm forced into a situation where I have to hide, even though I have nothing to hide.
You're forced. This sounds like someone is like extorting you.
No.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah. In a way, yes. You could argue. the federal government.
You're a walking contradiction.
I'm actually curious. Like.
Yeah, I mean, I'm being coerced into like, taking steps.
By who?
Just, dude, like the law.
The man.
Like, my private conversations should be private.
Mm-hmm.
And if I'm speaking to you or anyone else through iMessage, Facebook, anything, they're not private.
They're not listening on your conversations.
But they're not private.
They're just taking the time, duration, and whom you're talking to. And where you are. And probably if you're touching yourself.
And so,
no.
And sometimes the content.
No, that's false.
Oh, no, I know it's false. It's okay. Just what they've told us.
Yes, exactly. So, I've decided I want my privacy.
It's because
it's my right.
You've decided you're learning sign language.
Welcome back to the Garage Hockey Podcast. I'm Felix Sicard, joined as always by Nick and Joe Berger. It's been a long time. A little longer than we would have liked, but we are back. NHL free agency has come and gone. The expansion draft has come and gone. Everyone who was in the rumor mill has been rumored into existence.
They've been rumored and milled.
Yes.
Something like that. But today, we figured we'd start with the team closest to home, the San Jose Sharks. Made a couple moves. Some pretty, you could say, earth-shaking moves. The biggest one being, obviously, everyone knows by now, and if you don't, well, my hat off to you for avoiding Twitter for that long, or just not having Twitter. Patrick Marleau is no longer San Jose Shark.
Pour one out.
Never thought I'd say this on the podcast. It's kind of weird to say now, but he's gone. He's with the Leafs. Signed a very handsome contract.
Oh my God, it's huge.
I'll just and we're back.
Oh, it's like we never left, boys.
So what happened was, let me lay out the facts before we start analyzing. Patrick Marleau wanted 3 years. The mm-hmm. Sharks were only willing to give him 2 years for $5 million a season. This is stuff that has been reported. So I think Kevin Kurz reported it. The Leafs went 3 years. They went heavy on the salary with an annual average value of $6.25 million a season. His salary structure is interesting, if not unsurprising for an aging player. His first season, he'll be making $8.5 million, followed by $6 million, followed by $4.25 million. He has a full no-move clause. But I think where Patrick Marleau's decision was truly made was in the signing bonuses that the Leafs gave him. He's getting, what is it? $14.5 million
in signing bonuses.
In cash money. That doesn't count against the cap, so...
He's really making like $32 million.
So for Patrick Marleau and his family, I think this was... As much as he probably loves San Jose, I mean, he's lived here more than half of his life now.
When someone beats you over the head with a truckload of money, you sort of have to go with it.
And he's going to a good team. And you know, he's...
Like, he has a better chance of winning the cup with the up-and-coming Leafs than with... The slowly fading Sharks.
And I'm sure, well, don't spoil that yet, but, and as, you know, as a Canadian who's played for Team Canada multiple times for Mike Babcock, I think to play for a Canadian team like the Leafs for Babs, I think that was probably really appealing to him. And I mean, all that stuff sounds a lot nicer when, you know, you have $30 million just like staring at you.
Yeah.
So, I'm not going to fault him for leaving. There are people out there
oh,
who think he should have taken a pay cut. So, your thoughts. Your thoughts on that.
There are people that think that not only should he have taken a pay cut, there are people that think he should have taken a big pay cut, which doesn't make sense to me.
It's like this is, it, like we were saying this before we started recording, but that's life-changing money.
Yeah.
Like, he's 39 or 38. 37. Oof.
He's going to be 38 in September.
I'm thinking I'm in year three mode of his contract. Yeah,
right. like preemptively bracing for that.
But he's 37 years old, so he's not old by any means. As far as like real life scale goes, with this money, he's set for life. His kids are for sure going to be fine.
Yeah, his four young kids, like four.
Yeah, he's got four, so he's got to think about that. Yeah. And then you know the grandkids will probably be fine. After that, we'll see. But this is pretty nice money.
Yeah,
and the sharks kind of cheaped out a bit, in my opinion, because I don't think they don't have that money, at least to be able to approach it. Because if you look at what they were offering, you know, $5 million for 2 years, couldn't they have made that offer a little bit more competitive?
I mean, it was just one more year. Like, if say just for sake of argument, with the Toronto money staring him in the face, if the Sharks offered one more year at another $5 million, I mean, they were already willing to give a 37-year-old $10 million over 2 years.
Yeah,
giving him one more year. Who, his strength is his legs, his speed.
Yeah,
and that has not diminished. I don't know if it has diminished. I'm sure he's not skating quite the same as he was when he was like 23.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's not a huge drop off if there is any.
Yeah, he's still skating past people.
And they're willing to give him $5 million a year, knowing exactly what he brings offensively. And he's still going to be a useful player over those 2 years and over 3 years. So adding one more year wouldn't have killed them. If they were willing to offer him 2 years, 3 years, not, there really isn't any difference.
What the Sharks offer screams to me is that they would have liked to have him back, but if he didn't come back, they were still going to be as happy.
Yeah, that seems to be, you know, Doug Wilson's attitude towards he and Thornton over the past few years.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I've thought a lot. The good thing about doing this podcast now as opposed to like the day this trade happened is I think I've had a bit more time to think about it.
Mm.
And when the signing happened, I was like, oh my God, what are the Sharks doing? They lost, you know, one of their biggest name brand players of all time. He's still a useful player. And it looks like they might have been able to match the money. But the more I've thought about it, you know, Patrick Marleau is still good, and he still does things out there that you like. But as far as the results go, he's not, you know, he's not who he used to be. Like at 5-on-5, he basically, if he's not with Thornton, Pavelski, or Burns, he's not nearly as good. Sometimes below break even in shot attempts. As far as his point production goes, at even strength, he's hanging out with guys like, you know, Dorsett, Brian Gionta, Carl Hagelin.
Mm.
So he's clearly declined, but the spot he's falling into is more in like useful player mode, which I think is not a bad spot to be in. So I think from a Leafs perspective, this is kind of a weird deal because I don't really, and plus his power play production dried up, which isn't to say that it can't come back because as we know, power plays are a very environmental thing.
Mm-hmm. And last year, everyone's power play production.
And he's generally been good, although he's been declining. But I think that for the Sharks, I think the stance that they took, or at least the stance that you described of, you know, Patrick, we think you've done everything for this franchise, and, you know, we think you're a great player. You are 37. We'd like to have you back. Here's an offer we think is fair. Kind of take it or leave it.
Mm.
I think that was the right stance, because if you dig into Patrick Marleau's results and his numbers and, you know, just kind of like the trajectory of his career, I think that it was wise to do that.
To give him the kind of money that the Leafs gave him at this point in his career where he's in decline and he's 37 would have, I think Kevin Kerr said, it would have been stupid to pay him that much money. It makes sense for Toronto because they're a young team. He's still a good player that's going to fit in nicely probably on that second line, and he's going to get power play time. So it makes sense to bring in that veteran guy that can actually still play. For the Sharks, Just a little bit of devil's advocate stuff about the decline. That does have to do with age, but it also has to do with use, like on the power play. Mm-hmm. We all know that whole thing is centered around getting the puck to Brent Burns. So it would make sense that Marlowe's...
As far as last year goes.
Right. So last year and even the year before. So it makes sense that his shot attempts would be down. I don't know what that's going to be like in Toronto, because I don't know if they're going to have him... Because he played on the point at times on the power play in San Jose, and sometimes it was in front of the net, so I don't know how they're going to deploy him.
Marlowe on the power play typically cycles in the high slot. He's sort of the outlet pass.
Like the bumper?
If there's pressure on at the point, if they don't dump it down the boards to the person in the corner, they give it to Marlowe cycling high and really more towards the point. And then if it goes towards the corner, then he's just coming low and he's an option for the person in the corner. So like he sort of sets up shop in the high slot. That's what he does. I'm not sure if Babcock is going to use him differently. Even if he is going to be, I assume he's going to get power play time.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, he's going to get, and that's why I think that, like, you know, people were skeptical of this signing for Toronto, which I get because of the age and the money. But in year one, and probably even year two, maybe even the entire contract, he's gonna get the sort of like box score stats that are gonna make him look really good. Mm. Like I think he's gonna, like, playing with Austin Matthews and whoever they put on the power play, I think he's gonna get his points.
Yeah.
So, and I think that there's, given the money he's making, I think there's a incentive for them to like get him points too, because they don't want to look bad.
And Toronto had room to sign him. Toronto's up-and-coming players are going to be commanding millions upon millions of dollars later on. Mm-hmm. That's not going to happen until the last year of Marlowe's contract.
Yeah, and that's the thing. So, and that's another aspect of this move for Toronto, is that they had a lot of cap space. I think, do you have it right there? What's the cap space they're at right now?
They're currently over the cap space.
But they had a decent amount of cap space. And the idea was, like you just described, well, Our three best players are all on entry-level deals. While those guys are young, let's go out and spend money elsewhere to surround them. So I think they followed that playbook, which, you know, as far as the idea goes, I'm totally on board with kind of like that approach. But what they actually did probably wasn't like the outcome I would have gone for, because as far as this free agent class goes, I'm not really sure who they could have thrown money at and gotten like much, much better. Because I don't think Patrick Marlowe makes the Leafs like considerably better. I think he makes them deeper, makes them a little scarier in the power play, but I don't know how much better they get.
He'll
look a lot better next to Matthews.
He fit in nicely with the Leafs more than anyone else, because one, the Leafs are a young team.
And they're fast.
They had what, 18 rookies on the roster last season,
and they play really, really fast.
Maybe it was nine. I think it was nine. And so he's going to provide a veteran presence. And like you're saying, they're fast. And Patrick Marlowe, even though he's 37, is still fast. So it's not going to be like if Joe Thornton signed somewhere else. You know, say Joe Thornton signed with the Leafs. You know, like, yeah, he'll contribute because he's Joe Thornton, and, you know, he's, you know, still an NHL player, but he's not going to be, you know, leading the rush with all those young guys around him. Marlowe still could.
Yeah, well, just to that point, I think that Thornton helps any team more than Marlowe does, because Thornton's still amazing.
A lot of people are wondering if the Sharks kept the right guy between Thornton and Marlowe.
Yes, they did.
Yeah, I think so. At first, I was a little on the fence about it, because...
Really? I know you're a Marlowe fan, but I also know you like Thornton a lot, so I'm a little surprised to hear that.
So, well, because Marlowe just... He's got the foot speed and the skating ability that seems to suggest
but
that,
like, that's okay. Can we like pause for a second?
Can I finish my point?
Oh, okay, so quick pause. There are a lot of fast guys. Like, being fast is great.
Mm.
Okay, end pause.
All right. I just want to say, to quote Taylor Swift, to never let people get in the way of your dreams or make you feel bad for your accomplishments. Anyway, thank you, Kanye. No, I agree with you. There are a lot of fast guys.
Like, why isn't Andrew Cogliano getting $6 million a year?
Andrew Cogliano didn't score 40 goals.
I'm just saying, I'm playing devil's advocate here. No, but you get what I'm saying.
No, like, I do. I feel you. But like, the more I thought about it, Joe Thornton is the guy that makes other players better. Marlowe was better last year.
He's the straw that stirs the drink.
He stirs the drink.
He stirs the chum.
Yeah. Brought to you by Gordon Biersch.
I don't know why you would stir beer, but anyway.
Yeah, maybe you're snobby.
I'm like hijacking your
plan. Ask James Bond.
Yeah, what was I talking about? Where am I?
They kept the right guy.
I think they did keep the right guy. Obviously, I would have loved if they were able to keep both, but we saw last year. It reflects in the numbers, and if you just watch, Patrick Marleau just looked better when DeBoer put him with Thornton.
Yeah.
Like, he was using his speed a lot. He brought a lot of speed to that line. He looked better. Like, it's just, kind of uncanny.
When he was moved up to the top line, I think for the first time, with Thornton and Pavelski, he looked like a completely rejuvenated player.
Yeah, because, like, he started off on the second or third line, and he wasn't playing bad, but he was eventually moved up with Thornton, and it looked like he was shot out of a cannon.
And isn't Marlowe naturally a center?
Naturally.
Yeah.
But he hasn't played center regularly since, like, 2006, 7.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, it's been a long
time. Still a good chunk of his career, though.
Yeah. I mean, every now and then he still plays center, and he gets a job done. And so, if that's something that the Leafs want to do, then they have versatility with him. He can play left wing and play center. Yeah. So.
But the thing is with Thornton, I don't want to talk too much about Thornton yet, but he is still, like, he's a composer, you know, in the orchestra. He's the guy directing everyone.
Yeah.
He's still that guy.
Yeah.
You know, Marlowe is, he plays an instrument, and a very important instrument, but he needs the guy conducting first.
And that's exactly what I think. Because Joe Thornton is a guy that can protect the puck and distribute it, and he still does it as well as anyone, pretty much. Marlowe is a guy that is the recipient of, he's the beneficiary of those.
It's going to be very interesting to watch if he's paired with Austin Matthews. Like, is he going to have the same sort of production?
Well, that's the thing. That's the thing, is that he's leaving Thornton to go to Austin Matthews.
Yeah.
So the drop-off won't, I don't think it'll be as vast, if at all, as what some critics might be expecting.
I'm just curious if it's going to be similar to last season when he got that bump up to play with Thornton and Pavelski, if he's going to look like, you know, that player who's 3 or 4 years younger than he actually is.
Well, he'll be with Matthews and Connor Brown. Connor Brown plays with Matthews, I think. And Connor Brown's like a great possession player, and Matthews is also great and is extremely talented. And actually, one of the biggest problems for the Leafs last year in their top line was that Matthews and Brown, and I forget who's on the left wing there was, but they were so good at driving possession, but they just didn't have any finishers around Matthews. So, and actually, it's funny because if you compare McDavid and Matthews, Matthews actually drives play not just as well, but very close to how McDavid does, except his goals for isn't nearly the same. And I think it's because, I read an article that thinks that, it's because of the finishing talent, which would make sense, right?
He's not playing with Leon Draisaitl.
Yes. So,
who's a good player?
We had a violent debate about Leon Draisaitl the other night.
Yeah.
But all this to say that I think that you put Marlowe next to Matthews, and you know they're going to have the puck all the time.
Right.
And not just Matthews, but also Brown. They're going to have the puck all the time. And Marlowe's a great finisher. So I think it's probably going to look really good.
And he's going to add to those possession numbers. Marlowe is very good along the boards. He keeps the puck in a lot and forces it back down below the goal line. And then, off of that, he's very good at finding the open ice. So if he's paired with Matthews, I think they're going to complement each other very nicely.
He does not get enough credit for that, I think, because a lot of people always wanted Marlowe as a big guy to make those bone-crunching hits. But Marlowe makes hits, in the literal sense.
The textbook definition.
Yeah, he separates players from the puck and gets it back for his team.
Yeah, look at all his hits. He doesn't put anyone on their ass, but the player with the puck, after he hits them,
no longer has a puck,
and then suddenly Marlowe's team has the puck.
Yeah, and I mean, look, I still think he's a good player. It's a lot of the times it's hard to separate a guy from his salary, but it's the nature of the business. You have to take into consideration. We've brought up Thornton a number of times here, so I think we've covered the Marlowe angle.
Yeah. Yes.
So I think from the Sharks, I'm going to give them a thumbs up for kind of holding their ground. For the Leafs, a tepid a tepid thumbs up because I think this is a lot of money for a guy who we're not sure is good on his own anymore, but he doesn't have to be good on his own. Yeah. So we'll see. I think it's going to work out fine for them, at least for the first 2 years.
Yeah, I agree. I think it's going to work out fine for them. And like I said before, they have the cap room, at least for the next couple of years, to throw that kind of money at them.
It won't hurt them.
Yeah. So the big thing is just within those 3 years, it sort of seems like...
That's their window.
Yeah.
Because I think the Pens won a cup with Crosby on an ELC. So.
Oh, really?
Well,
2009.
Was Malkin also on the ELC?
2009, because he got drafted in 06.
Yes.
ELCs are 3 seasons, so...
Yeah.
Yeah. Or if it wasn't his ELC, it was the first year of his second one.
Yeah.
So when they signed those prior deals.
Right.
Yeah.
Anyway, okay. We don't have to go into Penguins cap minutia.
Ancient history.
Yeah. Okay. But that is the rubric. That's the blueprint for these teams, is that when you gather all this great young talent, that's why, now... When you look at the Oilers, who have signed McDavid to this mega deal and Drysdale soon to come, then all of a sudden you can't sign Milan Lucic to like another truck of money anymore.
Yeah.
You actually have to be smart, and that's why I'm actually a lot more pessimistic on the Oilers now than even last year, because I don't trust Chiarelli to navigate that well. But some people have liked his offseason, so we'll see.
It's why 10, 15 years ago, you heard about players' primes being like between 28 and 33.
Yeah, that's changed.
And then it went to about like 25 to 29. And now players' primes are like 22 to 25.
Yeah.
And 25 is pushing a little bit.
Yeah. And even you could say like 20.
Yeah. So like.
Yeah, it's really their entry level phase.
Yeah. So like when.
You have to capitalize.
Yeah. You have to capitalize when you get these good young talents.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well. A guy who's still very good, not so young, Joe Thornton, re-signed for 1 year, $8 million.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, whatever. Basically, the Marlowe money that was left over, plus like you throw another $2 million at him over what he was making last season. Got a slight bonus,
yes,
1.25. It's like, thanks, Joe. Thanks for coming back.
And I guess there were like three or four different deals that they had agreed upon.
So Thornton, depending on Marlo. So according to Kurz, I think it's Kurz again reporting this, that Thornton was ready to take, they had a couple scenarios. So if Marlo came back, he was going to take less. And anyway, I think we've already kind of explained our stance on this, but I think it's a smart move for them to go heavier on his deal to make sure he comes back, because you can afford losing Patrick Marlo. You certainly can't afford losing Joe Thornton, but you definitely can't afford losing both.
Right.
Yeah.
So I think that keeping Thornton is definitely going to keep them far more competitive next year than if they had lost him and kept Marlowe.
The one-year deal is just an interesting part to me.
It is interesting.
Yeah, it's not surprising that the Sharks threw, especially, I suppose, for 1 year, that they threw him that much money. But, the fact that it sort of sounds like, Thornton has been in the habit of signing three-year deals from his past few contracts.
Well, that just might not have been on the table for him.
Probably.
Because he's 38?
Yeah.
Yeah. So well, he just turned 38 10 days ago.
So maybe it wasn't on the table. Who knows?
Reading quotes from him.
Shit. That's my headphones.
Hold on a second.
No, that's staying in.
It's really hot in here, so my ears are like wet and slippery.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Had to let them breathe.
Yeah.
Reading the quotes from Joe Thornton, it sounds like he's totally in just... I'm going to take it as it comes mode. Like, I'm going to do 1 year and see how I feel. And if I feel good, I'll do another year and see how I feel.
And I think that's a smart move for him, because if he has another good season, which he had a good season last year. I mean, he had a really good season, but the production wasn't where some might have liked it to be.
Right.
If he can have a bounce back year, I mean, it's so weird to say he had bounce for him to potentially have a bounce back, because he doesn't have to bounce back. But if he does have it in those categories that people want to see, he could probably get $8 million again for 1 year.
In a way, he sort of does need to have a bounce back year, because what Nick said about him being, I'm just going, in the moment, I'm going with how I feel. He's coming off an injury, a significant injury, and he hasn't played an NHL game yet. He hasn't even. I'm sure he's been on the ice.
But he came back in the series, didn't he?
He did.
Yeah. Well, okay. That is. Well, but not before. That was before the surgery.
He was playing hurt.
Yeah.
And it's the playoffs, so you can never trust what that means.
Yeah. So, like, he came back, but he couldn't feel his leg.
Right.
So, like, he's still sort of untested. I'm sure, you know, with any injury like that, matter how confident you are in your abilities, you still don't know how it's going to feel.
Right.
So, signing 1 year, you know, maybe that was part of it. You know, it was like, I don't know how I'm going to feel, what my production is going to be like, if I'm going to start off slow and then turn on at the second half of the season, or if I'm not going to lose a step.
Mm.
You know, like, it's for him, it's uncharted waters.
Yeah.
So, like, the one-year deal, I'm sure there are a few factors that go into, you know, just signing 1 year at a time. And for the Sharks, you know, it worked out. You know, Marlowe left. They have a bunch of money. They didn't go out and sign many other...
no one.
They signed Brandon Bolig.
Turretaway.
Is that the only guy they added that was not on the roster last season?
I believe so.
They lost Michael Haley and
Schlemko.
Schlemko.
Rest in peace. God.
Yeah. You know, so we would have liked to have seen them gone out and get, you know, another top four defenseman if they could have.
But they just don't... They like, with their cap situation, I mean, they do have space, but the roster spots are just filled.
Yeah. You know? So hopefully, you know, they're really banking on their young talent, from the Barracuda to step in.
Yeah.
As we heard, Doug Wilson called Timo Meier into his office after Marlowe signed with Toronto and
said, "Do I need to go out and find or sign another player to replace Patrick Marlowe?" And Timo Meier said, "No, I'm ready." As if he was going to say anything else.
Yeah.
Oh, no, Doug, I'm not ready. Like, please go sign someone to play in my minutes. Like, what?
So they're actively looking to phase in their young talent, as they should be, as we just mentioned. You have to win when your talent is young. It's not wait till everyone's over 30.
Well, okay, so speaking of guys who are 30 and over or going to be 30, so the other two kind of minor... Not so minor, I guess. The other two big signings for the Sharks were Martin Jones and Mark Edward Vlasic.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Signing extensions.
So with Martin Jones, his new contract will take him to age 34, a 6-year deal, annual average value of $5.75 million. He gets a 3-team no-trade clause, so basically he gives the team a list of 3 teams that he'll accept the trade to. I mean, I know what Nick is going to say about this.
Yeah, I really don't need to say anything. We all know where I stand.
Martin Jones just had a season that was a bit disappointing after especially his Stanley Cup final performance in 2016.
Mm. Yes.
So I'm gonna ask you, Joe. You're signing a 28-year-old goaltender.
27.
27?
Yes. 27.
Oh, right. Because he has one more year in his current deal.
That's correct.
So the age I have on this paper is for next. Anyway, late 20s goalie. He's probably has a couple more years in his prime. I mean, what was your reaction to that? You know, 6 years for Martin Jones.
I mean, I'm glad they did it. Like,
You're probably getting 4 more good years out of him.
Yeah,
I'd say,
and
which
yeah,
is probably neat.
Particularly with how athletic he is. You know, I think it works. You know, it just is a matter of, you know, when does he stay athletic late into his career, or does he suddenly, you know, lose some of that elasticity and then he's just going to break. Yeah. So.
The good news is that he is very durable. He has not been hurt with the Sharks.
So last season, I think he put up very similar numbers in the regular season to the year before. However, watching him last season, the goals that went in, there were a lot of disappointing, like, short side goals, 5-hole goals, under the arm goals.
Yeah, in the second round against Edmonton.
Yeah, so, I was just talking about regular season, but, you know, 5-hole in the Edmonton series, certainly. So even though his numbers were similar, I felt overall his performance, he was making errors that I would not expect from him. And, you know, being that was his second year as a starting goalie in the NHL, I'm thinking that there is going to be a bounce back. You know, he had one full year under his belt, went to the Cup final, played amazing. Second year, like I said, similar numbers, but a little bit of a drop off in, I suppose, efficiency. So I would expect there to be a little bit of a rebound. You know, he has 2 good learning experiences under his belt. You know, and I would expect him to be better next year than he was last year. You know, it also depends on, you know, how the Sharks play in front of him, obviously. But I like the contract because I really like I like Jones as a starter. You know, like, he reminds me very much of Carey Price. Calm, cool, collected, very technically sound, always in position to make the save. Obviously, there are, you know, some minor differences in the way they play. And obviously, Carey Price is the best goalie in the world right now. But I'm very confident or very comfortable with Jones in net. And, you know, in net for the foreseeable future.
And like you said, it takes him to age 34. That's not outrageous. It's not like the contract takes him to age 40 or something. Yeah. So they're going to get the prime years of Martin Jones, and that's all locked up. And I think it's a fair contract.
Well, as far as his NHL career goes, he hasn't had a ton of heavy minutes, and he's never been hurt. Mm. So it's, I think for the Sharks, at the money he's going to be costing them on the salary cap, it's not like, I think it's a good bet.
Yeah.
And I think that's, and like you guys have been saying, I think he's a quality starter. He'll probably have a couple really good seasons in there, but I think overall he's probably going to stay the course as just like a good kind of like slightly above league average goalie, yeah. Which if the Sharks can maintain any semblance of the structure they've had the last few years, that's kind of all they really need.
Yeah.
And at the money they're going to be paying him, I would agree. I'm totally comfortable with it. Like Martin Jones is not a guy that leaves me overly concerned. I didn't love his season last year, but he was still better than league average.
Yeah.
Because league average was 915, yeah. And what'd he get?
Well, I think league average was 911, and he was 912.
Oh, he had a 912?
Yeah.
Oh, so he was slightly below. Yeah. Okay, that's not good.
Yeah.
Well, I've seen enough from him to where I'm like, okay, bad year. I've seen a lot of good before.
Mm-hmm.
I guess what is worrying about his performance last season is that it was the first season where he's had a defense in front of him that's had some holds.
Mm-hmm.
Just like not in terms of the guys playing, you know, roster wise, but their actual performance.
Yeah.
Because before that, he's played behind some very good teams.
Yeah.
So as the Sharks potentially get a lot worse in like 5 years, or you know even 3 years, how is he going to look?
Right.
That's the question. But that's a question that we're probably going to discuss a bit later on here, like the Sharks' long-term outlook. But again, I think as far as the next couple of years goes, this is a fine contract. Yeah. I think he's a fine goalie. I don't think he's top 10, but I think he's better than average, which if you have one of those guys and they're relatively healthy, just lock them up.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm
like, that's just kind of how it goes with goalies.
Yeah, they're kind of not doing any better. And look, I think even though there were so many five-hole goals in that first round, he still had like a 930 save percentage.
Exactly. Yeah. It's splitting hairs.
Yeah.
But I talked about the defense from her in front of him and how it wasn't as good this year. A lot of that had to do with Mark Edward Vlasic and just kind of his aging, you could say. Or you would hope. I don't know. They re-signed him to a 8-year deal with an annual average value of $7 million. Or is it seven? Yeah, $7 million.
He got a lifetime achievement award.
Yeah, is it 7.25 or 7 million?
Seven.
Okay, seven. Yeah, yeah. I don't love this contract. It doesn't kick in until 2018-19, I think.
Right.
It's not the best. I don't love it because I think Marlowe's, he's kind of the opposite of Jones, where he hasn't been hurt, but he's played so many minutes. He's played in so many difficult situations. He never takes time off.
Yeah.
He's injured a lot.
Is he?
Recently. The past 3 years. He tends to be, because he plays so often, towards the end of the season, he tends to go into the playoffs injured.
But has he missed like 20 or so games?
No.
Not 20,
He just, he gets like freak injuries. Like he gets hit in the face with a puck and misses like three or four games.
Okay. Yeah. So I think like, yeah, generally he's been, you know, healthy.
Yeah.
I think throughout his career.
Yeah.
But I mean, maybe I'm making too much of his last season, but the way the Sharks are kind of trending, you know, they lost a good player, not the player, a player you can live with losing, but, I think he's still going to be a fine defenseman in the next 3 years, but, you know, and they're probably gonna be able to get out of this contract somehow. It's always, people always kind of freak out and they see a really big contract with this kind of term, but you see teams like we were talking about David Clarkson before this, we started recording. It's like, yeah, like the Leafs got out of it, you know?
Yeah.
So people find ways, but, I, I don't know, as an outside observer of this team, not someone who follows them like that frequently, hard to love it.
He didn't have great possession numbers last season, and we were looking at that the other day, and I really don't know how much of it has to do with the people that he plays with.
But the thing is, those people are still there,
right?
And they're not like going away.
Yeah, that's a fair point.
And what we were talking about then was the Sharks need to do some reshuffling of the D pairings.
Yes.
Because Vlasic, you know, this contract's going to be, he's going to be 39 when it's over, right?
Yes.
And, you know, he's already been insulated a little bit with Justin Braun because, you know, Braun has wheels. But the problem is...
Yeah, you could argue Justin Braun makes him a little bit better.
Yeah. the thing is, I've never been huge on Justin Braun either. I like his speed and he's okay defensively. However, I see him more on the second pair. Vlasic, for, you know, he's great defensively. His breakout is a little weak.
But it's never been his strong suit.
Yeah, you know? But that's what I'm saying.
He's always been an elite kind of like home plate defender.
Yeah, it's why he needs a little more insulation. He needs someone who's a little more mobile and who can make that pass out of the zone. And, you know, a guy like David Schlemko would have been perfect. But I think soon they're going to have to find someone else for him to play with for him to be worth his contract.
Yeah, they can't just have two guys that are good in their own zone and, like, can't get out of it.
Yeah.
Well, that's the thing, is that when we talked about them reshuffling their pairings, it was kind of like, well, if you put Schlemko with Vlasic, you know, there's a potential for him to have at least spend less time in the defensive zone, but can Schlemko defend on that level?
Mm.
That's kind of the concern there. I guess now, looking at the way that roster's constructed, I would try Burns with Vlasic and just see how that would go.
They really don't have any other choice.
Because the Sharks don't really have, I mean, it depends on your definition, but they don't really have a true first and second pairing. It's like, we have Vlasic and Braun who are just going to play the tough guys.
Yeah.
And then we have Burns and Martin who are just going to kind of feast, like, big time on everyone else.
Right.
And, I mean, you look at their record, you look at the stats they've posted in the last few years, and it's worked really well for them. But the problem is, Vlasic's getting older, potentially his body's starting to give out on him a little bit. He has to just, they have to make life a little bit easier on him, and I'm sure that they're thinking about this. And, you know, you brought up the Barracuda earlier, their AHL affiliate. Have some young legs down there. I think if there was ever a season to find out what they can give you, this has to be it. Because, like we mentioned, as much as Justin Braun is probably a bit underrated, I think you need someone there with a little bit more of an offensive kind of mindset.
Yeah.
So
they're going to find out what they have with Dylan DeMello.
I hope they do.
And because he's going to be first in line to for David Schlemko's job.
Yeah, I know what DeMello looks like in a suit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, like, he has played, like, a fair number of games over the past few seasons and played well for the most
part. And he looks fine.
Yeah, you know, he skates well. He passes the puck well. I think he moves the puck out of his own zone well. But he hasn't played 82 games, so we're going to find out a lot about
him. You know, you talk about guys like Schlemko or even DeMello, and it's like they seem appealing as options next to him, but you never know if a guy can handle that kind of play until you see it. Mm-hmm. So we shall see. Also, happy Schlemko's on the Habs, by the way.
I'm happy for you.
Thanks, man.
Yeah, you're welcome. Enjoy that.
Well, I guess thank you, Vegas.
Yeah. Yeah, thank Vegas. You know what?
How did you not protect them?
I know. Like, they should have... Like, well, I know. Like, they should... Mic slam. Here it comes. We all know how rattled I am.
They have very few puck movers on their blue line.
They have one. They have exactly one. It's Brent Burns. They should have protected Schlemko, because without him, they're only... true puck mover is Brent Burns.
Yes.
I just exposed Brendan Dillon. Like, it wasn't that hard.
Please.
It was not that hard.
Just cut some weird side deal like pretty much everyone else in the league did.
Yeah.
Okay, so I think we've kind of covered basically the Sharks offseason to date. I guess the next question, and I think we'll be able to wrap up after that, is like, what now? Right? Because the Sharks are basically running it back, minus some like pretty noteworthy pieces, you know, Marlowe, Schlemko. I don't know if Schlemko's truly noteworthy, but I think he...
Most people would tell you that he's not.
And they're all wrong.
Well, I don't think they're completely wrong, but they're also kind of like missing the point. Like,
I don't.
Like, it's not that he was some big contributor. It's just like his potential to contribute.
Yeah, like I don't.
They lost a lot of potential.
I don't mean to oversell Schlemko, but people are like, oh, I mean, he only had 2 goals and 13 assists. He's supposed to be like this offensive defenseman. His value is not in goals and assists.
It should never be with defensemen anyway. Well, but
yeah, but the thing with Schlemko is, he is not a play finisher. He is a play starter. Mm-hmm. He's very good at breaking the puck out. He's very good at keeping the puck alive in the offensive zone and making that clever little play to the slot or whatever, stepping in at the right time.
Yeah.
That's where his value is. It is not in finishing.
And because of, you know, the way he looks, of, you know, the kind of skater and, you know, playmaker he is, everyone expects, you know, the finish also.
Yeah.
And so everyone thinks he's being like a disappointment.
Yeah.
And it's just he's being underutilized.
Yeah, well, that's a classic misevaluation. So for the Sharks next season, I think they're still going to be a competitive team. And, you know, if everyone's healthy, so like if Couture doesn't miss whatever he's going to miss, which is kind of a lock for him nowadays, they're going to be a competitive team. But without Marleau, they lost some kind of finishing ability up front. They do have the young guys like Timo Meier to come in and potentially, you know, kind of take that next step. That's what their hope would be. I have very little faith in that blue line. Which is weird to say because they have some good pieces on it. I just don't like how it's constructed, and it could very well change. And if they can make that change and make it work, that unlocks a lot of potential for them. If they can get a bounce back season from Jones, because like you mentioned, his season last year wasn't the best.
Mm-hmm.
There's still a lot of upside for this team. And if Pete DeBoer can kind of fix some things, particularly about his own philosophy or how he coached his team, then I still think this is a playoff team. But that Pacific is getting tougher.
Mm-hmm.
And like, if there was, to me, if there was ever a season where we finally see a drop off for the Sharks, I think this has to be the one.
Yeah. Anaheim, Calgary, and Edmonton are going to be, I think, the teams to beat in
that
division.
And don't sleep on LA. Yeah. I know a lot of people are, but I think they could be scarier next season.
Yeah, but you know, when Stevens talks, you're going to fall asleep anyway.
I mean,
he's a human quaalude.
The big change for them was bringing in the corpse of Mike Camilleri. Like, whatever.
Well, anyway, it's a more competitive division.
If they get a bounce back season from Kopitar, then like I'll sit up.
Well, the thing is, they're already doing a lot of things well. I mean, they've been the best possession team for like ever.
Mm.
But they're realizing that they have to find ways to be better at finishing. And what's interesting is, I heard someone saying that with Daryl Sutter's teams, they're typically always pretty good at possession. But even going back to like his San Jose, Calgary days, his teams just were notoriously bad at finishing.
Yeah.
So if they can kind of keep a bit of that like skeleton of what he had and just bring in a bit more like offensive approach,
mm-hmm.
hopefully not to the detriment. But like the thing is, when you're possessing the puck, or I guess, you know, getting shot attempts at like a 54-55% share, if you go down to 52 and you're finishing more, you're still in a really good spot.
Yeah.
So I don't know. Like, I think the Kings are, they're not a lock to be all that better, but I think there's a really good chance.
Yeah.
And that's not good for the Sharks. It's not really good for anyone, actually.
No, it's
in the Pacific.
Yeah. I'm interested about where LA's shot attempts come from, because it's, if you're having that kind of zone time or that possession time and you're not generating meaningful shots,
yeah,
it definitely speaks to the coaching system.
Exactly. And the thing is, you know, I heard Tyler Dello talking about this from The Athletic, that a lot of teams typically are bad at like recognizing what their issue is. But for LA, if you've looked at the numbers the last couple of years, it's always been, yeah, well, they have the puck all the time, but they don't finish. And it sounds like from everything they've said, that is the problem, that they see the same problem we're seeing.
Mm-hmm.
So if they act upon it and it works out, like they could be a scary team again. Yeah. And as far as like what's driving their possession, like, I mean, when you have Drew Doughty and Isaac Kopitar.
Yeah, and Jeff Carter.
That helps a lot.
And Tyler Toffoli.
Yeah. But I mean, I think Doughty and Kopitar are like at the heart of that. But anyway, so all this to say that for the Sharks, it feels like they're fading a little bit. Teams are, I mean, the Ducks are going to be just probably just as good next season.
The Ducks are going to win the Pacific.
The Oilers are probably going to be better just because Connor McDavid's going to be a year better. Mm. The Flames, I mean, they brought in Travis Hamonic. They're going to be scary.
Yeah.
The Coyotes got Derek Stepan.
the Coyotes got Stepan. They got Chalmerson.
Yeah.
And the Sharks always have trouble with the Coyotes.
And Antti Raanta.
The Coyotes are going to try to win. So yeah. We'll see what that means.
They got better.
I mean, it just means you have less kind of penciled in wins for everyone. So, look, again, I still think the Sharks have a nice ceiling, but it feels like there's a bit more potential for a drop-off. Yeah.
The 2 and 3 spots in the Pacific are wide open.
Very.
Yes.
Okay. We got anything else?
Not on the Sharks. I think we covered the Sharks pretty well.
How far are we into this?
50.
45, 47 minutes.
Okay. I think we're good. I think we've kind of covered the issue. I don't want to just toss in stuff to quickly cover.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, guys, thanks for listening. We might be back again sometime this week. We'll see to kind of cover up the rest of free agency. But as always, thank you for listening. Check us out on Twitter at GarageHockeyPod, Facebook.com/GarageHockeyPod. And if you've been enjoying the show, or if you're a first-time listener, leave a review in iTunes. Let us know what you think. We'd love to hear from you.
It really helps out the show.
See you guys soon.